Mac Robinson on the board. We got Jake Murren behind the glass. Meredith Kane on the 2020s there. And across from me, the always lovely Danny Cunningham of Cleveland Magazine, 92.3thefan.com. Got himself a podcast. The man is Cleveland Seacrest, and I say that pretty much about everybody with multiple jobs.
Yeah, just missing the hair.
Yeah.
That's all I'm missing.
Yeah, I don't think it's real.
Probably not, but yeah. I mean, it's mine LA. Is, and it's not that.
It's L.A. I mean, at some point, I think whether you need them or not, at 35, they're just like, we're just going to give you plugs.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. I think that's very common out there.
Also, I think Ryan has started to have plastic surgery.
Started?
Yeah. Well, within the last decade. Everything. If it's happened in the last decade, it's started.
Okay.
That's how time is for me now, because I think I just stopped being of a time about a decade ago. So now everything's like, if it happened in the last 10 years, it happened 3 weeks ago.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And if it happened 2 weeks ago, it happened 5 years ago.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
It's a convoluted math.
Yeah, time really works well for you. You're good at calendars.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't think I'm really good at anything.
No, you're not.
I think the most freeing thing about age is you just realize you're really kind of a moron. And there's a reason why you are where you are. And why you'll never go where you want to go. And that's okay.
I feel that every day.
Acceptance is a gift and a cage, depending on how you look at it. But no, I'm going to need you to do something for me, though, Danny. I need you. You're a friend.
Yes.
All right?
Yes. What's
like,
up?
You're one of the people that when I was in Charlotte, I always made sure to text you, how you doing? When you were in Minnesota, how you doing? Because you are a true good guy. And I mean
well, thank
that.
Thank you. You are as well, Nick.
You are a dear heart, and I mean that. You're one of my favorite people in the media, and I'm mostly saying this because you're sitting across from me.
Right. You would not say this if I was at home.
I could be saying the same thing to anybody. Like, it could be, you know, Stalin could be sitting across me, and I'm buttering.
Let's not get carried away.
I'm saying, like, this is how I butter people up.
I think that might go a little too far.
No, okay. So he was a bad guy, okay? That's 2024, guys. Bleep your feelings. Now, with that being said, we're going to put a pin in that one for later.
Good idea.
I need you to talk me off the ledge with the Cavs.
Why do you need to be talked off the ledge? Like, are you not all in on this team? What needs to be talked off the ledge here?
No.
I need a little bit of background on how you're feeling before I can go into this.
No, I'm as all in as I can get.
Okay.
We're pushing it to the limit here.
So you want me to be negative about the team that has been the best team in basketball, has the best offense in the league, is the leading the league in three-point shooting percentage and just genuinely looks awesome?
No, I'm losing objectivity. And I promise you it's not because they beat LeBron last night. Not entirely. It's because in five games, it has been so much fun. The offense looks great. Everybody's getting in on the action. Like, I see the path forward so crystal clear. Like, even if they have health issues, I expect them to still play really well, because the style of play keeps everyone involved and everybody happy. They're like 11 deep of playable guys, and they might even be 12 deep, quite frankly, if you want to develop a young guy or two.
Right.
And I watch these guys every night, and it's like I'm falling in love. Well, I remember this feeling from 20 years ago. I remember what this is like. Because I've been in love for 20 years, okay? Easy there. My point is,
I thought you were talking about LeBron.
It's the first time I fell in love with him, too. He's just got just a beautiful human being. I love that title a lot, all right? It's subsided me for almost a full decade, along with a lot of calories and sugar. But, no, I keep trying, like, I am losing objectivity on this team because it's so fun, and it does look every bit like what I want it to look like all of last year, and even parts of the year before that. And so when you see it, it's like, yes, this is what the Cavs can be. And I find it hard to not then be like, I mean, why couldn't you go to the finals?
Right. And
like, it's five games, though.
I think the answer to that at this point is just the Boston Celtics. Like, that is the only good answer I can say as to why can't this Cavs team go to the finals. Like, I just look at the East and I say, the Boston Celtics. That's it. And the best thing about this team so far, and they have been awesome through five games, but this five games, I think, has looked unlike any five-game stretch I can remember in Cavaliers basketball, because they have had what feels like a different player be their best player every night, and they've been successful. You can have a different player be your best player every night, lose games, and it doesn't matter, but Donovan Mitchell is the superstar on this team. Like, when you look up and down this roster, that is the best player, and there's really no question about it. But I think they've won at least four of these games where he probably has not been the best player on the floor for the Cavs. And I think that's a great thing for this team, because there will come a time where they need him to step up and be the superstar and put on that hero's cape. And he's going to be able to do that. But the fewer amount of times he needs to do that, the better off this team's going to be. When you see how good Evan Mobley's been, when you see what Darius Garland was able to do on Monday in Madison Square Garden, I don't think Darius had a game that good or that impactful all of last season. You see how consistent Jared Allen has been. There's so much to love about this Cavs team, and there's really not a reason to think this isn't sustainable either.
But, okay, you know what talk somebody off the ledge means, right?
I wasn't going to lie to you.
But no, sometimes you have to lie to people to talk them off the ledge.
Okay, Nick, they're not going to be Boston.
Well, okay.
Get off the ledge.
No, but this is in other guys where Will Ferrell's like,
aim for the bushes?
No, where he goes, we've started a talk down here, and we don't think you're going to do it. That's what you're basically saying to me right now. And it's so funny because in the three or four conversations I've had with folks is, the pushback has been, well, wake me up when October ends. And my rebuttal is, I think this is close to what the Cavs thing is, or what the Guardians thing is, where it is just unbridled fun. And I think they're already upsetting the apple cart in terms of expectations. So, like, while there is a, all right, what do they do in the playoffs conversation, let's not act like the difference between them being a 5 seed and the 2 seed or the 1 seed isn't gigantic when it comes to your path to whether it's the Eastern Conference Finals or the Finals.
Massive. Massive. That is, I think battling for seeding is the most important things the Cavs will do all year. Like getting in that, because I am of the assumption that the Boston Celtics are going to win the most games in basketball, maybe second behind OKC, and they're going to be the 1 seed in the East.
Mm-hmm.
And that means you really don't want to be 4 or 5. You really want to find a way into the 2-3 slot and be on the other side of the bracket, not see Boston until the conference finals, because one, it is an easier path to get there. I think the Cavs can beat any other team in the East, not named Boston, right now if you played a 7-game series.
Mm-hmm.
And two, things can go wrong. And if the Celtics have to get through 2 rounds of the playoffs before the Cavs could see them, that gives more time for something to go wrong that could tip the scales in the Cavs' advantage. So I do think that's a very important thing. I also think it's important to note, this start's been awesome. They're not going to be perfect all year. Like, they're going to go through a stretch where they lose 3 out of 5. They're going to go through a stretch where they're not hitting shots. They're going to go through a stretch where they're not playing their best basketball. And I don't think what they've done so far is them playing their best basketball. Like, I still think that they can get better because they're 5 games into an entirely new offensive system, and it looks awesome. I think when it gets to its peak, it will look better. The Cavs need to figure out a way for that peak to be in April and May. That's what they need to do.
This is what I struggle with. The Celtics have everything they need to repeat as champions. But the problem has always been, and I think this is less of a, I know this is going to happen, and more of a, let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Phil Jackson was quoted, the first one's easy to win, the second one's damn near impossible, because we becomes I. Once you fulfilled the we by winning a championship, all of a sudden, a bunch of different eyes. Now, in fairness, they didn't really lose anybody in free agency.
Mm-hmm.
But that Brown and Tatum thing, I think that's in the same way that I think we're always going to be monitoring the Garland versus Mitchell thing, which is you can like each other personally, but when it comes to on the court, there's always going to be rough edges there, and it's always going to be something you have to overcome, even if it's just, hey, we got to remind these guys are on the same team, and it's okay that you guys have overlap and we stagger them and stuff like that. So I'm not doubting the Celtics. I'm simply saying people are anointing them. We'll see.
I mean, listen, it is a long season and a lot will happen in the NBA, good and bad, between today and the start of the playoffs in the middle of April. A lot's going to happen. As far as the Celtics go, what I'll say there is, I think Boston is in a very unique situation with those two guys, because a lot of the thing that can cause friction between two star players that do like each other but might not always be the best fit on the court, I think Tatum and Brown are really good fits. The fact that they've both gotten paid helps Boston's cause. And I actually think the fact that they were both slighted this summer helps Boston's cause too, because you look at Jason Tatum, who was benched during the Team USA run. Jaylen Brown did not make Team USA and felt like he deserved it and has blamed, you know, the shoe companies for keeping him off of the Olympic team. I think those things uniquely are in Boston's favor and might alleviate some of the perceived friction that could happen.
So I think that's a fair rebuttal, by the way. But I just think it's really interesting. There are certain teams that when tough times happen, they get tougher through no fault of their own. I don't think winning the championship suddenly made Joe Mazzulla a great head coach.
No.
I think he had a great path to a title, and I think he had the easier path to an NBA title because of all the injuries along the way. It doesn't take away the title, but when we start forecasting the next run, like if the Cavs and Celtics meet up again in the playoffs, everybody seems to be talking about, well, nobody's a good matchup for the Celtics, and that, yeah, but the Celtics also... I'm trying to think of the right NFL kind of thing. There's always an internal thing that happens when there's some... It's almost like the Yankees. There's some sort of internal thing happens when the you-know-what hits the fan. I don't know. I like where you're at with the Olympics thing. I don't know that goes away in the same way, by the way, that I think that of Darius and Donovan. Like, at some point, you're the same guy.
Right.
At some point, like, Darius is going to want his own team. So I've always felt like even if they win the next three titles, I don't see Brown and Tatum ending their careers together in Boston.
Right. I would bet that they don't, but I don't think that's coming this year. And when I look at this Cavs team, I'm focused on the 2024-2025 season. Like, I'm not looking ahead to what they can be next year because I don't think this core four is going to be together forever. I don't think anyone thinks that. But what they have now, is that good enough to be a championship contending team? With what we've seen through five games, it absolutely is. Now, for me to say you guys are bona fide championship contenders, I'm going to need a little bit of a bigger sample size than five games. I think that's another fair thing to say.
Fair. See, this is talking me off the ledge, by the way.
Okay, yeah. Good. I'm glad we're
sample
here.
Sample size. Welcome. You're starting to say like keywords, buzz phrases, all that kind of stuff.
It's been five games, and the Cavs have been awesome in these five games.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to be awesome in all 82 games. They are going to have a game where... For as great as it was for that team to just absolutely put it on the Lakers last night, there's going to be five or six times this year where that happens to them, where a team's just going to have their number and they're going to put it on them. And that will happen over the course of an 82-game NBA season. I need to see, before I can say this team is a real title contender, I need to see what they look like probably in January. I think that we need... and. It's not to say they're
late
not going to get better.
December is also where this team specifically has had some bugaboos.
Right, and then they've played better and I'm interested in that too because under JB, they always peaked too soon. They always peaked in February. What's that going to look like under Kenny Atkinson? Can they peak in April and May? If they can, yeah, they can get to the level they want to be at.
216-474-0092. Are the Cavs the greatest team in history? Okay, that's not really the topic. But again, I do need talked off
no,
the ledge
No, that's written
here.
Down here. Oh, that is written down
well,
here.
Well, I mean,
you
if it's written
that.
Down, then it is the topic. It's not.
I'm going to say no. They're not.
Well, Danny hates the Cavs. He's a Cavs reporter. Of course he does. No, we got Pete Futek coming up at 4 today of college football news. I'll ask him about firing Ryan Day since the masses want their pound of flesh. We got Danny Cannell, CBS Sports HQ college football analyst. I'll get his take on the Ryan Day shenanigans. We will get into the Browns. We're going to do a little stay or go with Danny coming up at 3 o'clock. We also have to get into the dangerous team idea for the Cleveland Browns. But as we get started... with the Cavs, because I think this is something we got to explore a little more here. Are you still in wake me up for the playoffs mode despite the Cavs' hot start? More on that next on 92.3 The Fan.